We've been hearing it for years that style and substance are two unrelated things. You can have one kind of style and a different kind of substance. Now, that may work in, who knows, your everyday life. You can have kind of a hipster style but walk around in substance as a button-down businessman. People pull that off all the time. But what about in the church? Is it as simple as the style you dress in but the substance that you hold fast to? It was very popular in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod several years ago to talk about evangelical style, Lutheran substance. Is anyone really pulling that off? We're going to answer that question with Craig Parton for the next half hour of Issues Etc. He's an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, a regular guest here on the program, former staff member for Campus Crusade for Christ, author of the book The Defense Never Rests, and United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. I think Jeff referred to him yesterday as one of our pro bono crack legal team. Is that what he called him? He might send us a bill after this, Jeff. Craig, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Where's the check?
In the mail. In the mail.
Always.
Okay, the term style and substance have somehow crept into Christian parlance. It works in music, it works in business, your everyday life, how you choose to dress or the car you drive. Does it work in theology? Can we talk about evangelical style and Lutheran substance and really make any sense?
Well, let me answer it two different ways. Somebody who says they're going to do Lutheran substance and evangelical style generally means they don't know anything about either subject. So you ask them, what is Lutheran substance? Get a vacuous stare, a couple of things said, unlikely correct. Then you ask them, what's evangelical style? And they'll inevitably be wrong, because if they're Lutherans, they're inevitably 30 years behind the times, and their idea of evangelical style is not what's being done out here in California at the leading evangelical centers. So it can be wrong on both ends. But I'll tell you, I do Lutheran substance and true evangelical style every Sunday morning in my Lutheran church, which, by the way, I drive 2 hours back and forth from. It's just that rare to ever find somebody, a church that actually says, yes, we're Lutheran, or actually love our distinctives. The substance of Lutheranism, long gospel, the gospel center of everything, that Christocentric incarnational focus and that sacramental emphasis is perfectly matched with a service that presents Christ in its form, that presents a structure in which that gospel can be presented by the use of the historic liturgy, which, by the way, is a cross-cultural phenomenon, more so than any evangelical generational pop style would ever hope to be. So in one sense, the person who says they can do both knows nothing of either. In the other sense, I do both every Sunday in what I think is the very biblical framework in which the Lutheran liturgy presents Christ crucified.
Can we concede the dichotomy created by the style-substance parlance, that way of talking? Is worship practice just style?
No, and you can see that in a lot of different areas. Form and content, style and substance, are not isolated categories. Content determines form, and yet form carries content. And that's true in many, many areas outside of theology, and it shouldn't surprise us. I mean, because I'm getting ready to go to France in 24 hours, let's talk about fine French red wine. The great content of a Bordeaux Chateau Lafite, you know, 1954, which will cost you $6,000 a bottle, can that wonderful content be consumed in a styrofoam cup? Well, answer, yes, technically it can. But why is it always served with a marvelous Riedel stemware from Germany and a great Bordeaux bulb presentation? Because the French understand you want to match the marvelous, sophisticated content and deep, complex aging of that wine with the perfect receptacle for it. And so I think you see that in that. You see that in cuisine. You can tell, Todd, I'm definitely getting ready for France.
Yeah, your mouth is watering.
You know, you've been there, all those great meals that you have. It's that perfect, a wonderful Michelin guide restaurant in France perfectly combines the wonderful ingredients of a great Michelin French restaurant with the great aesthetics, the presentation at the table, the service, the music that's in there in the restaurant. All these things combine to a total experience. Could you just have a great Michelin meal on styrofoam sitting on the curb? Well, yes, you could eat it there. But is that really worthy of the content that you have? And that's the substantial question, is the bottom question at all this, the foundational. What do you think is going on in a worship service? What's going on is God himself is present. That's what's going on. And if that's what's going on, your service style and the reverence and everything you do ought to match that up. And that I think, is the wonderful gift that the Lutheran liturgy has to offer contemporary evangelicalism.
What I've also always wondered is, as often as I have heard my fellow Lutherans talk about evangelical style Lutheran substance, why is it that the evangelicals aren't talking about Lutheran style evangelical substance? Do they know something about the incompatibility of the substance and the style vis-a-vis their Lutheran brothers and sisters,
yes,
that we don't?
Oh, yeah, the real bright ones do. There's a guy, I won't tell you his name because he'd be embarrassed, but he is a convert to Lutheranism from an evangelical rock group. He had his hair painted purple, his piercings everywhere there was to be pierced, and he became a Lutheran theologically and loves the liturgy, and his church started to slide to the south with this stuff. And he knew the party was over for the church he was at when the pastor asked him if he would play his electric guitar in the divine service. And this guy, I'll never forget it, he said, "Craig, I told him I will never do that in the divine service, and you have no business asking me to do that." I mean, he understood there's nothing evil about electric guitar, but it has its cultural connections, and it has a form that it carries, it has content that it carries. And he wasn't going to impose that on his church, but leave it to the, unfortunately, ignorant Lutheran shepherd of that congregation to say, "Hey, you can spice it up a bit." But a guy who knew both evangelicalism and Lutheranism said, there's a real disconnect here. And unfortunately, my experience is that Lutherans are rushing to become Baptists, and then there's about a million Baptists who are just finding Lutheran liturgy and Lutheran theology to be extremely attractive. They're two ships passing in the night. And, you know, you just hope that you can send somebody to a Lutheran church where they actually find a Lutheran service nowadays.
I think of things in simplistic terms, Craig. And so I carry these little phrases, these little axioms with me to kind of keep my mind clear. And I came up with one several years ago, and it's so simple as to be almost self-evident. Roman Catholics worship the way Roman Catholics worship because they believe what Roman Catholics believe. Baptists worship the way Baptists worship because they believe what Baptists believe. Presbyterians, Lutherans, throw in whatever name you want there. They worship the way they worship because they believe the way they believe. It seems to me that those who are touting evangelical style and Lutheran substance are saying, in essence, let's worship in a way that is inconsistent with what we believe. Let's worship like we don't believe what we say we believe when we say we're Lutheran.
So true. And of course, what the ignorant Lutherans throw up, and I've heard this argument many times, it's all adiaphora. I mean, there's nothing in Scripture that says you have to do the Kyrie and the Sanctus and the Gloria and the Nunc Dimittis after communion. Well, I mean, where does it say you have to do that? And where does it say you have to wear vestments? And my response is, Scripture doesn't say you have to wear any clothes at all. So why don't we just go naked in the service, and instead of a nice tray to receive the offerings in, let's use a Huggies box. There's nothing in Scripture says you have to hand around a nice, beautiful piece of hardware for people to put their thank offerings to the Lord in. At that point, the whole thing collapses. And really it comes down to what do you think is happening in the service? And I think there's a unfortunate boredom in Lutheran circles with what and lack of knowledge of what is actually going on, that God himself is truly present. And if that's the case, this should have more reverence than the Queen of England visiting. And we don't use the rock band to welcome the Queen of England when she shows up. Nor do we do it when the president walks down, into a ceremony. We act with reverence. Our whole culture gets this. It's only the nerd brains in the Lutheran church that don't get it. And it drives me crazy. And it's inevitably the guys that have never really lived in evangelicalism like I've lived in it.
We're talking with Craig Parton, former staff member for Campus Crusade for Christ, author of the book, The Defense Never Rests, about evangelical-style Lutheran substance.
Got no substance in your style. You're always dressed in the latest fashion. Dropping names, it's all a show.
The sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
On behalf of the entire staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,500 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Alexander Lang, Lisa Ramirez, Carl Amo, Cheryl Oberdeek, Dana Meeks, Magdalena Ramirez, Mason Beecroft, Jennifer Jordan, Pastor Shane Cota, and Randall Fish. Thanks for your support.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click On Demand Audio.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes with Craig Parton as we talk about evangelical-style Lutheran substance. You can join us, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Craig is the United States Director for the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Did I hear you say that you're getting ready to leave for Strasbourg in 24 hours?
Yeah. I'm going to go a few days early and spend some time in just outside of Baden-Baden recuperating from the jet lag.
Yeah, poor you.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Tell us a little bit about this year's Academy, of course, is fixed to begin, but tell us a little bit about next year's Academy.
Yeah, next year will be a super, very interesting summer. We're having both Rod Rosenblatt and Michael Horton as the guest lecturers with Dr. Montgomery and myself, and that'll be terrific. Again, every mid-July in Strasbourg, and people can go to apologeticsacademy.eu and get all the information. Not on that one. We still have this summer's posted, but we'll have something new by, I think, September. The new session in 2009 will be on.
So folks, look for information coming soon at internationalacademy.eu for next year's Academy, International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights in Strasbourg, France.
Hate to correct you, but it's apologeticsacademy.eu, not international.
Actually, you're correcting Jeff. I just read, as usual, I just read
you
what
know,
he types.
Yeah, exactly. You're a good finger pointer. You got that.
No, I just credit where credit is due, blame where blame is due. It's as simple
indeed.
As that.
Indeed, indeed.
On the style substance issue, is this, we've talked about how you cannot separate style from substance. I wonder whether or not if a congregation worships, let's take a Lutheran congregation again. If a Lutheran congregation worships like Pentecostals or Baptists or Methodists, won't they eventually become Pentecostals, Baptists, or Methodists?
Oh, there's no question about this. The whatever else you want to say about Lutheranism, it gets the gospel right. The theology of Lutheran worship is getting the gospel right and keeping it at its center. Pentecostalism is not about that. It's about God meeting you on an existential, subjective level through your own feelings and emotions. And the objectivity of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, the absolution, the sacraments, are no focus of Pentecostal worship. So clearly, the style of Pentecostalism will ultimately water down the content, if any you had, of the center of a Lutheran service. And you know, something else that I really irritates me about this kind of move to, not kind of, but evangelical style. You know, it strikes me when I look around my church and a number of others how wonderful it is to have people of all ages in there and to have elderly saints who, many of them, as I see them, you know, hobble up to the communion rail, maybe their last Sunday. And for me to impose my particular desires about what kind of music I like and what does it for me is kind of the ultimate arrogance to impose on people near the end of their life who need, like I need, to hear about their sins and their forgiveness of their sins in Christ. And I have seen this. I have seen the impact of evangelical style on the elderly congregants, the poor people that love the liturgy but have no voice to stand up and tell the pastor, Pastor, do you see the end of this gun? I'm about ready to pull the trigger, and you're going to be at the other end. They don't have that kind of shoot spa to do anything about it. And yet this style is presented to them, this upbeat, beautiful people style. Everyone's happy. Everyone's healthy. I can't possibly have somebody dying of cancer who feels like absolute junk and hasn't had an upbeat thought all week. They've got to be upbeat and happy like the worship team. That to me is really demeaning to people that are in a suffering state and who need to hear the only answer to this, which is the Lord's answer that He provides.
Well, the retort to that is usually, yes, we still care about the older people, but it's the next generation that we're after. We're targeting the next generation, those young
right.
people, or we're targeting the unchurched or the seekers or something like that.
Yeah.
And of course,
yeah.
you know, if those older people want to go to a church where their worship is dying or dead, they can find another church to go to.
Yeah. And my generation is the worst to target the next. And I see this all the time in trying to think we understand what the generation behind us or two and three behind us really want in a worship service. Actually, what they want is what the Lutheran liturgy has to offer, reverence the presence of Christ, a sacramental, fleshly focus, taking sin seriously, calling it what it is, proclaiming the Scripture and Christ in the center of it, a service that you can go to and leave and say, God met me here through his promises and his word and in bread and wine and water. That's what they're looking for. And yet, you know, if you leave it up to the bozos of my generation and my kind of people, we think what the next generation really wants is a PowerPoint presentation, because they've never seen that. You know, they might be impressed. And maybe if everyone comes with a laptop and we can upload things during the service and have clips of movies, ooh, the next generation will really be impressed. No, they'll think you're the idiot that you are.
You know, I mean, my daughter thinks about that stuff, Greg. I know your daughter is, you know, just moving out of the teenage years.
Yep.
But
yep.
I've got a teenage daughter at home.
She
sees PowerPoint presentations every day in school. To her, that says school.
Yeah.
And she can sit down at her computer in her room and watch YouTube videos to her heart's content.
Right.
What it says is when she walks in and it's all video montages and interesting or ostensibly relevant video presentations, she says entertainment.
Right.
So it's either school or entertainment, neither of which is church.
Right. And we don't think you have an attention span more than a flea. And so we've got to keep changing the content regularly, because remember, you're a visual generation. You couldn't possibly have a deep thought if you tried. And I have found that to be wrong. I find that when content and serious substance is presented, I find people rising to that, because it's so rare to find it in culture now. And yet the church has it, and the Lutheran church has it in spades.
You have said several times in the course of our conversation that a lot of this depends on what you think is really happening in worship. You've got 2 minutes to flesh that out for us.
Well, it's very simple. It's what our processional hymn was on Sunday in our church. God himself is present. Let's now fall before him in humble reverence. So if God is present, how is he present? And he chooses to make himself present through his word and through his sacraments, through communion and baptism. And if that's the case, he is really there. And if that's true, then everything we do should be in light of the fact that we're in the presence of a holy, sinless, perfect God of all creation who has created us. And that should influence what we do in terms of singing. We're in the presence of God and the holy angels. We ought to sing songs and hymns that are theologically correct. Reverence ought to be part of the service, because we're in God's presence, and that should drive everything that happens. So, what this service is all about is God presenting his gifts to us. As John Pless said, Lutheran worship is anti-American, in that it basically says you got to sit there and take it. You got to sit there and take it that you're a sinner, and you got to sit there and take it that absolution is free and proclaimed to you on Christ's cross and presented to you today in his body and blood and the forgiving waters of baptism.
And it's not about you. It's about Jesus for you.
Right, exactly. It's not about you. And that's the fundamental difference in kind of the evangelical service you'll go to, where you'll be given a list of things to do as a result. And if you're in a good mood and you have health and you're making a lot of money, you go out and say, yeah, I can do this. This is a great church. And if you're slightly depressed, like a guy in our town was in the last week at one of those churches, you hang yourself in your garage, which is exactly what he did, because he was one of the bright ones who understood this is a theology of despair, ultimately, if Christ and his gifts are not presented to everybody, Christians, you know, and unbelievers who might wander into the church.
Craig Parton is an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, former staff member for Campus Crusade for Christ, author of the book The Defense Never Rests, United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Find out more about that at apologeticsacademy.eu. His title sheet is almost as long as Dr. John Warwick Montgomery's, and someday it may surpass that. Thanks for being our guest, Craig.
My pleasure, Todd. I don't think I'll ever rival Montgomery. No human should try to do that.
No, that would be hubris. When we come back from this break, we'll talk with Chuck Burge about what's going on in the Presbyterian Church USA, especially the ordination of openly gay and lesbian clergy.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.